Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and in this one, I'm talking to writer Cullen Bunn at the recent San Diego Comic-Con about his work on Punk Mambo and also about the upcoming Roku series from Valiant that's just been announced that Cullen's going to be writing. So there's a lot of great information in this interview, so I'm going to get right to it. As always, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, this is Jace from the Comic Source coming to you once again, San Diego Comic-Con, the 50th anniversary show, and I'm welcoming writer Cullen Bunn back to the show. Cullen, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you, man.
So we're going to talk a little Valiant. You've got one project ongoing right now with them, and then you've got another one that just got announced recently.
Yes.
So let's start with your current book that's there, Punk Mambo. How did you get involved with that project?
You know, Punk Mambo came about, the editor, Lisa, reached out to me on it was Facebook. She had read some of my other creator-owned stuff, and reached out and asked if I'd be interested in working with Valiant, and I was, and she didn't share what the book was. She kept that kind of secret until we talked on the phone. And then we talked about it, and it seemed like it was a perfect book for me. It was, you know, it's the kind of story and character that's right up my alley. So it was a great fit. You know, a lot of times in some of the, you know, some of this, the work for hire stuff, I feel like they're not the right fits. You know, I mean, they're books, you know, and characters I love, but they're not what I would consider, whether they're right fits or not, not what I would consider perfect fits. And Punk Mambo was one right as soon as she. As soon as she mentioned it, I was like, yeah, that's a perfect fit for me.
Yeah, it's because it's been a while since you've played in a superhero universe. And, I know you have somewhat of a dark sensibility when it comes to your story. So, yeah, you're kind of putting those two loves together here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's that's one of the things I love about comics in general and superhero comics is there's such a potential to merge different genres. And there's no reason there can't be a horror superhero book. I mean, there have been horror superhero books for years and years, but this was a situation for me to finally, you know, I've done a lot of dark superhero books. This was the chance for me to play in the supernatural horror and merge that with superheroes. So I was all for it.
And now, Punk Mambo is a pretty popular character in the Valiant universe, but she hadn't really had, you know, she hadn't had her own title, and she hadn't really been fleshed out. Right. So that was a challenge in and of itself, right?
Yeah, and you know, she's appeared in a couple of issues of other characters' books, and she had the one shot.
Yeah.
It was a challenge to do some fleshing out of the character, but also it was a great opportunity because I wanted this book to be something that if you had never seen a Punk Mambo book, you could pick this book up and you could follow who the character was, know who she was. So I really treated it like it was her first appearance in a lot of ways. I wanted readers to, I've already talked to some readers who were surprised to find out she has appeared in other Valiant books because this was their first exposure to the character. I wanted that. And, you know, so, yeah, we were able to develop, you know, hopefully put our own spin on it. This is not a story where I didn't want to do a deep dive into her background or history. I wanted it to be a story where you get in and just have some fun with it initially. If we do more down the line, well, you know, I have plans within plans.
Yeah, it does seem like you're hinting at some of the things, and it's what makes the story so fun because when we've seen Punk Mambo before in the universe, she's kind of a, you know, take no prisoners, you know,
right.
Sassy, you know, she puts on this air of being super confident and you know, don't mess with me kind of thing. But in the first issue, we get some kind of glimpse of maybe some cracks in her facade, which I found really interesting.
Yeah, she's not she's definitely got that hard outer shell, you know, and that's something she cultivates. But there's more to her than that. And I don't want to just, I don't want to do a book where, you know, on the first page, I just, all right, here it is. Let's lay it all on the table.
Right.
I wanted readers to know who Punk Mambo is on the outside, the surface, before we even worry about what's beneath the surface.
Yeah, and then you talk about mixing genres. Also has some aspects of mystery or detective.
Oh, yeah.
Story. You know, we're not even sure who the bad guy is in the first couple issues.
Yeah, and that's something. One of the I love in prose. I love reading novels. You know, the supernatural detective novels. Mm-hmm. I've loved it. You know, I've loved that genre since Nancy Collins, Sunglasses After Dark series. And I wanted that vibe. I wanted the feeling of a supernatural detective story. And you don't know who the villain is. In fact, we introduce some villains, but we know they're not the person pulling the strings.
Right. And your artist on the title, Adam Gorham, he came on and talked about the series before it started. But how's the collaboration been for you and Adam? I mean, he was so excited to be on the book.
Yeah, Adam's awesome. I mean, he's such a tremendous artist. He's also just a really great guy. So I'm blessed to have worked with a lot of very talented people who are actually very nice people. I love seeing what he brings to it. You know, we had some interesting, he had some interesting challenges before, because we introduced this voodoo pantheon, and we didn't want them to be. We wanted them to represent, the voodoo pantheon of our world.
Right.
But I also wanted, it's a superhero world. It's not our world. So there had to be some change. We wanted to kind of shake it up a little bit and make it something that works in that in the Valiant universe, mm-hmm. and create Valiant's version of those characters. So he had some really cool design work he had to do. Some of the villains that he gets to introduce, he did some really cool conceptual stuff with. With our big bad, I'm excited for people to see what he does, especially in those last couple of issues.
Yeah, the other thing that it seems like you've really had the real estate to kind of let the story breathe. It's not presented in such a way where it seems that, like you said, all the questions are answered, but also. If you needed to change something, or it's just you're giving it room to grow organically, right?
Yeah, I think especially with a story like this, it's important for me to take my time with it. Even though it's a pretty action-packed story, there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's important to take the time with the mood of it, and I'm not going to hit the readers over the head with a lot of exposition about what's going on. I want them to fill in the blanks to some degree, and yeah, I'm not going to answer all the questions in this first five issue. I don't, it's one of those things. I don't feel the need to answer all those questions. I like them lingering out there, because then we have more stories we can tell with them, or another writer could go and tell with them. It gives opportunity for everybody.
And like I said, it seems like you're taking the time, like you said, to make sure that if we do get more, you're not locked into one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Direction.
There's a ton of different, but there's so many directions and different avenues that a story with this, that Punk Mambo could go on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that. There's so much potential with a character like that.
Yeah, really enjoying it. Now let's talk real briefly here about your new book that got announced. So Bloodshot, my favorite Valiant character, but Ninjak's a close second.
All right.
And now we're getting to see a story of pivotal figure in the history of Ninjak, part of why he became Ninjak, really. And again, you're getting to explore a badass female character, so it's roadkill.
Yeah, and she's super cool. She's just a really great character. Another character with so much potential, so much, so many different directions we could go. And also gave me the opportunity to write an anti-hero, which I love writing anti-heroes. And for this story in particular, I just decided right off the bat it's going to be a breakneck pace action adventure. It's going to be, I don't want people to have too much of a chance to breathe. It's a very action-packed story. And I felt like Roku fit perfectly in that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I'm glad you used the word anti-hero, right? Because we saw her first, and she's up against Ninjak, and so the right away the conceit is to she's a villain,
right?
But she's, with what she went through, it's like she doesn't think in terms of right or wrong or good or bad. She just does whatever the hell she wants to do.
Yeah, she gets a mission. And morality doesn't enter into that equation.
Exactly.
And that's a big part of the story, even though it's a such a you know, a heavy action story. There's, you know, this is where we get a chance to see at what point does Roku question that, and what makes Roku question her motivations. Because yeah, she doesn't question. She gets the job, you do the job, yep. You get paid, and you move on. But now, you know, in this story, we're going to see you know, some connections to her past that we haven't seen before, because her past is a mystery. She doesn't even know everything. So there's some answers out there for her, and those answers may not sway her, but where she gets those answers may start swaying her and opening her mind to some different ways of doing things.
Well, it must be really fun for you, because I look at a title like Dark Arc that you're doing over at Aftershock, where you're really exploring morality, right and wrong, good versus evil.
Yeah.
And now here we have this character that doesn't really have, or not morality the way a normal person, you know,
right.
would. And that's such an interesting question to explore as a writer. It has to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what interested me with this character, because she offers such a different opportunity to explore it from a different point of view. I mean, we all know, I mean, assassins and ninjas, they're awesome characters. We all love, you know, reading about them or watching them, but this is giving, you know, this is the opportunity to really dig deep into what makes her tick, and in all honesty, where she lands. Morality-wise, may not be where you think it. You know, it hopefully will not be what you expect.
But as you said, you don't want to give us a chance to breathe. You want to have it be, nonstop breakneck speed. So that probably presents its own challenges to still explore that, but yet pedal to the metal.
It absolutely. And yeah, when I started working on it, I usually, when I start a new project, I write like a list of like inspirational, you know, thing, movies and books. And this one was a lot of Hong Kong gun fu movies, you know,
nice.
It was like The Killer, Hard Boiled, and then, you know, John Wick, you know, and I really wanted that flair. I mean, I think I listened to the soundtrack to The Replacement Killers while I was writing the first issue, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be, if there are doves flying around in the, you know, I don't know, I channeled John Woo for a little bit. But yeah, that is a challenge, because the action was so important to me. But as the action's playing out, there's sort of a different thread, an undercurrent that's playing out under the action that tells a different side of that story, I think.
Let our listeners know who your artistic collaborator is on the project, and also how that relationship has been starting
out. It's Ramon Box, which, I mean, and he's, I mean, just an amazing artist. And I didn't see his pages initially for a while. I think he was almost done when I finally saw his pages. So I was kind of waiting breathlessly. You know, I wasn't even sure he had already started on the book. And then all of a sudden I get an email with, here's the pages. And it's such a kinetic feel to the issue. I mean, Roku's a very, visually, I can imagine she's kind of a tough character to...
Yeah, with all the hair.
Yeah, her hair is psychokinetic, so it's going and forming into blades, cutting people, breaking necks, you know. And then she's also a talented martial artist, and so there's a lot of different moving pieces. And I remember as I was scripting this, there's a lot of me scripting, you know, as she's doing this, she's also doing these, you know, six things, because she can. But he just nailed it. He really dove in into it and embraced that whole, I mean... It's a lot to ask for an artist. Hey, draw this psychic ninja with with telekinetic hair.
That's great. How many issues are we going for Roku?
So Roku's going to be a four issue series. It'll tell the complete, you know, the complete story that we have in mind, and then it sets her up. You know, I really think she could be a character who could be, you know, she's always been, you know, like you said, she's ninjack, and she's a supporting character. I think she's cool enough that she could support her own, you know, support her own stories and bring readers to her that really, you know, are fans of her as a character.
Yeah, I agree. I love the dynamic that she has with ninjack when they play off each other. But fully, she's not a sidekick. She's not a... You know, she's not a supporting character. She really just is her own.
Yeah, and for that reason, you know, Ninjak's not showing up in this series, because I want, for that very reason, I didn't want it to be, this is a Ninjak story with Roku again. I wanted to make sure that everyone knows this is Roku's story. Now, there are a ton of a ton of different characters showing up in it, new characters to the Valiant universe, who are very deadly and going to be big challenges for her. But I intentionally left Ninjak off the board on this one because it had to be Roku's story.
Awesome, awesome. As we finish up here, Cullen, if you just want to tell everybody where you are at in social media so everybody knows when the next issue of Punk Mambo comes out and Roku launches and all that.
Yeah, stuff. Super easy to find me. It's Cullen Bunn across all the social media, just my first and last name across Twitter. Twitter's where I'm probably most active, but across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, they're all Cullen Bunn.
Yeah, and I've had you on several times before, and I know how much you love hearing from fans and
I do.
About reaction, and you respond and have discussions and everything. So I encourage you, listeners, to reach out to Cullen, let him know what you think of Punk Mambo, and certainly when Roku hits.
Yes,
as
if
well.
You love me, reach out. If not, you know, it's okay. We can skip that one this time. I won't hold it against you.
Right on. Well, thanks for the time, Cullen. It was great to talk to
no,
you.
No, thanks, man.
All right, so some pretty interesting stuff there that Cullen had to say. Really excited to see what the Roku series brings and how it kind of fleshes that character out. Kind of similar in that way to Punk Mambo, in that when they're both characters when they're first introduced are a little one-dimensional. Roku less so because of that relationship, that the way her origin and her relationship, her past that ties in with Ninjak sort of gives her a little more substance. We get a little more insight. She's a little more of a tragic figure. Whereas Punk Mambo, you almost feel like that name is kind of has two meanings, right? Like clearly into the punk scene with her look and everything, punk music and all that. But really, she kind of acts like a punk. You know, she's not very likable. She's very abrasive and, almost to the point of being ignorant. We know that's not the case, but you can't help feeling like when somebody's answer to a particular problem is to hit it as hard as they can, it doesn't seem like an intelligent way to respond to situations. And whether that's physically hitting something or by using their magical powers, that certainly is the way Punk Mambo comes across. And I never really cared much for the character. And it wasn't just that she was one-dimensional. I just felt like what there was to her wasn't something that I was interested in reading about. You know, I'd never felt like she was a person, had she been a real person, that she's somebody I would care to spend time with. Just so abrasive and obnoxious and stubborn and arrogant. And again, just not somebody that I would want to be around. What Cullen has managed to do in the first three issues of the Punk Mambo series is really make her much more relatable. She still comes across as very brash, very abrasive, but it's become a lot more obvious that that's kind of the facade that she puts up to protect herself. We've seen hints and learned a little bit about her past and hints that she's gone through some really traumatic things. We see that she's in some way facing her own mortality, feeling like she's getting old. And so I think in that way, seeing her as this more vulnerable character makes her much more relatable and much more likable. With issue 4 that's coming out this Wednesday, we get an idea of what exactly Azair Aguilar has in mind, why he's been kidnapping these spirits and these Loa. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, we want to kind of see our heroine, the protagonist, win the day. But at the same time, I like the idea of Aguilar succeeding, because then we may have a big bad that could possibly rival Toyo Harada on the magical side. I mean, we've had Master Dark, we've had Baron Samedi, but we all know that the Valiant Universe could use a lot more interesting villains. And he certainly has an interesting start, having been born without any magic, and magic doesn't work in his presence. He could be a really interesting villain to go up against Punk Mambo in the future, or even Shadow Man. So I guess that remains to be seen what will happen exactly. But as I said, I think the series has been really enjoyable so far. Part of the reason that I picked it up is because of the Adam Gorham art, and having Adam on the show previously and just hearing about his excitement and how invested he was in the series, I knew he was going to do an incredible job. And so even though I didn't care much for the character, because it was Valiant, because it was Adam, And really, because it was Cullen who's writing I've enjoyed in the past, I thought, okay, I'm gonna give it a chance, even though this is a character that I'm not really invested in. And the first issue was okay. It showed enough promise for me that I picked up issue 2, and I felt it significantly got better, and 3 even improved upon that. So it's what you want a series to do, get better as it goes along. I think Cullen showed, as we talked about in the interview, he showed just enough cracks in Mambo's facade in the first issue to kind of pull us in. And as we've gone along, he's done a great job of staying true to the character while giving us more insight into who she is. So it's a really surprisingly enjoyable series for me personally, because as I said, it's not a character that I ever really enjoyed reading about in the past. So again, the fourth issue comes out this coming Wednesday, July 31st, and only one issue to go. This one, issue 4, is great in that, as I said, we learn what Azair Aguilar's sort of end game is, and it's a sufficient threat, right? Where it really feels like, okay, this guy could really be a big threat to the Valiant universe going forward. And so there definitely feels like there's consequences and there's some stakes. And meanwhile, we get to see Punk Mambo sort of regroup in a way. We learn a little bit more about her past, and we see that she's ready for sort of the final confrontation in issue 5. So looking forward to seeing how it wraps up. Really enjoying it. So reach out on Twitter, social media. Let me know what you're thinking of the Punk Mambo series, because as I said, it's been surprisingly good in my opinion. So I hope you all enjoyed the chat that I had with Cullen. I'll probably play that interview again, just in terms of refreshing all of our memories into what Cullen had to say about the Roku series. So I'll probably play it again when the Roku series is about to drop. So once again, thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate the support, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.